the end of the Sedra, there are two psukim of how the Jewish people responded to Moshe Rabbeinu's telling them to receive the Torah, to accept the Torah. First sentence says the following: Vayova Moshe, Vayisaper La'om Eskol Divrei Hashem, Vayeskol HaMishpatim, Vayan Kol La'om Kol Echad Vayomru Kol HaDvorim Asher Dibur Hashem Na'aseh. Moshe Rabbeinu came and he told the people all the words of Hashem and all of the laws, and they answered in one voice, and they said, all the things that Hashem spoke, we will do. Okay. The second sentence, it says, Vayikach Sefer HaBris, Moshe Rabbeinu took the book of the covenant, Vayikra Bo'oznei Ha'am, and he read it in the ears of the people. Vayomru, and they said, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem, everything that Hashem said, Na'aseh V'nishma, we'll do and we'll hear. There's a few differences between the two sentences. One is that the first sentence says that Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Vayisaper, right? He told over to them. The other one, it says, he told it, Vayikra Le'oznei Ha'am, he told it into their ears. The second difference is, in the first sentence it says, they answered as one voice, unified. The second sentence, it doesn't say that. The first sentence says, they said, we'll do. It didn't say, we'll hear. The second one, it says, Na'aseh V'nishma, we'll do and we'll hear. Why the differences? So I was thinking of the following. There's a sentence in Tehillim that says the following. Magid Dvorov LeYaakov, the Rabbanu Shel Olam tells his words to Yaakov, Chukov u'mishpot of Israel, his various laws. We'll see the difference between chukim and mishpotim in a second. Li Israel, his various laws to Israel. Lo osachin l'chol goy, he didn't do that to the rest of the other nations. U'mishpotim bal yidoum haleluka, and he didn't make known his mishpotim to them haleluka. Okay, I want to explain the sentence in the following way. Magid Devor of Yaakov refers to the giving of the Torah, the Ten Commandments, Aseres HaDibros, Devorov. The Rabbanu Shel Olam gave the Aseres HaDibros as a preface to the whole Torah, that Klal Yisrael should accept his authority. Because if they don't accept his authority, there's nothing to command them. So that's the first thing. The Aseres HaDibros, God came down Kibiyochel on Har Sinai, and the Jewish people pledged allegiance to accepting God as their authority. Okay, so that's Magid Devor of Yaakov. And that's when they're on the level of Yaakov, a lower level, but also Yaakov means to be subjugated, subdued. The whole idea was God spoke his words at Har Sinai to the Jewish people when they were on a lower level of Yaakov, and the level of being subdued and subjugated, accepting authority. And then, chukov u'mishpatov. After that, God gave them chukim and mishpatim. Chukim are laws that are super rational. They're not rational laws. They're not irrational, but they're beyond rationale. Like kashrus, paraduma, laws that are not based on rationale. And mishpatov, mishpatim, are the laws of what's it called that are rational laws, right? And that's Li Yisrael, because the purpose of these laws is to raise their level to be the level of Yisrael, where they are princes and rulers. That's what Yisrael is. And lo also chen l'chol goy, what's it called, and he didn't do that to all the nations, u'mishpotim bal yidoum, what's it called, and he didn't you give him mishpatim, he didn't make known his mishpatim to them. Now, what that means is the following. Chukim are, like we said, super rational laws. Over there, the Rambam says that there are two different ways of approaching the mitzvahs. One way, Chazal say, is a person should not say, I can't stand to eat pork, but I would love to eat pork, but I can't because God said not to do it. There, the idea is to be mevatel, to subjugate your mind to God. Not to rationalize and say, well, pork is probably not healthy and it's not tasty and whatever. No, could be rationally speaking, there's nothing wrong with eating pork. Goyim spend plenty of money to buy pork chops or whatever. And probably is very tasty. But what can I do? God prohibited it to me. In those mitzvahs, the mitzvah shamios, mitzvahs that we needed to hear, otherwise we wouldn't do them rationally, we wouldn't come to them on our own, there the idea is to totally subjugate and subdue your mind to God. Mishpatim, on the other hand, there's another thing. A person shouldn't get up in the morning and say, oh, I'd love to kill somebody today, but what can I do? God said I can't do it. No, there in the rational laws, the idea is to accommodate your mind and to think like God thinks. In other words, murder is wrong, and I don't want to murder people, and I don't want to steal. We work on the mishpatim. The mishpatim help us to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos, and to want to acquire the right kind of outlooks, the right kind of feelings, and the right kind of character traits. So when it comes to mishpatim, to rational laws, a person has to try to get to the level where he accommodates his thinking to God's thinking. God says that stealing is abhorrent. I abhor stealing. I abhor killing. Right? I want to come to the level where I wouldn't want to kill, but I wouldn't want to steal. Not that I wake up in the morning and say, I'd love to kill somebody, what can I do? When it comes to eating chaser, eating pork, there, I want to reach the level where I say, I don't really understand why I can't do this, and I would love to do it, but what can I do? I have to bow to God's authority. Those are the difference between chukim and mishpatim. And so therefore, I think the two sentences mean the following. Okay? Let's first read. Magid Devar V'Yakov. God started by establishing his authority on us, by telling us his words at Har Sinai. And that he did to Yaakov. Yaakov meaning that we're on a low level and we are subservient. And then, once he establishes authority, then chukov u'mishpatov l'Israel. Then he gave us chukim and mishpatim, right? And the chukim are also supposed to be that we are supposed to have faith in God, that he knows what's best for us or whatever. And even though from our own standpoint we'd love to eat pork and similar things like that, but we bow to God's authority and don't do it with emunah. And mishpatim is that God gives us rational laws, and through those laws we're supposed to adapt and emulate his thought processes, his feelings, his midos, and become like him. Okay. And that's why it says, when it comes to the, what's it called? That's why when they heard called Divrei Hashem, right, the mitzvahs that are there to establish God's authority, right, they said, Naaseh, we'll do it. There's no nishma, there's no we'll understand, we'll hear, because it's not an idea of hearing and understanding and accommodating and molding your personality according to what you hear and what you learn. It's merely to accept and do. It's accepting authority. So then they said, Naaseh. There was no nishma over here. It's Naaseh. We'll do it. We won't eat pork. We don't want to understand the reason why or whatever. We just want to do it. Okay? But when Moshe read them the Sefer HaBris, Rashi says that was the whole book of Bereishis. There we learn about the midos of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, how to emulate. They emulated God's character traits. We're supposed to emulate God's character traits. We see how God interacts with tzaddikim, with rishayim, in all different circumstances. There's an idea to not only accept God's authority, but to mold our thinking to the way that God thinks, so we can emulate him and acquire the right midos and the right hashkafos. There they said, Naaseh v'nishma. Right? There they said, we're not only going to accept, we're going to understand also, and learn and listen, so we'll be able to adapt our personality to be like God's personality. Therefore, in the first sentence, where they accepted the super rational mitzvahs, they accepted God's authority, right, to do what God said, right, not to reason why, like it says, you know, what's it called? Ours is not to reason why, or to, but just to do. They did it in unison. Because everybody can do the same thing, but not everybody can understand the same thing the same way. Different people hear different levels or whatever, and integrate different character traits or whatever. So when they were accepting the authority of the Ribbono Shel Olam just to do, they did it in unison. Everybody was equal. When it was Nasa and Nishma, there it was Moshe said it into their ears, meaning each one heard what they were capable of hearing and understanding. And it wasn't in unison anymore. Everybody had their level of what they understood and how they could reach the different character traits or whatever. It was a very individual thing. And that is the difference between Mishpatei B'nei Adam. Human beings also have rational laws. But God's rational laws are different. Why? Because the purpose of rational laws amongst human beings, amongst the Goyim, is in order to create a functioning society. The basic idea is, what are those things that we have to do to be able to live with each other, that there's no anarchy, that there's some kind of social order, okay? And therefore, because of that, there is a philosophy of live and let live. You know, as long as I'm not harming anybody and it's consenting adults, I can act like an animal in my home as long as nobody's affected. But by us, our mishpatim are not just to create a functioning society, but they're there to be able to mold the character of the people who do them. And therefore, even if no one's affected and no one's around, I still have to act like a mensch, because doing these laws is for my sake also, to ennoble me and to make me develop the character traits that the Ribbono Shel Olam exhibits, so we should learn from him. And that's why it says Mishpatim Bayudo. I understand that God didn't make known his chukim, his super rational laws, to the Goyim. But rational laws, they know rational laws. But the way it says Mishpatim Bal Yudaum, the Mishpatim amongst the nations of the world is not for their knowledge, that they should then come to know God and walk in his ways. That's called Yediyas Hashem. Knowing God and walking in his ways is understanding God's character traits and emulating them. The Mishpatim of the nations of the world is Bal Yudaum, is not to make them know God. It's to be able to create a functioning society. It's only for practicality. It's not in order to ennoble them and that they should know God. Bal Yudaum. It's not for the sake of knowing God. The Radak says the same idea a little bit differently. He says, "Umishpatim bal yudaum haleluka." The mishpatim of the nations of the world does not let them know how to praise God. From our mishpatim, we come to know how to praise God. Because praising God is to recognize him, recognize his attributes. That's what's called praise of God. He doesn't need us to tell him he's a good guy. Right? He needs us to appreciate what his attributes are, what his praises are, so we can emulate them. So the purpose of Mishpatim by the nations of the world is not to let them know how to praise God. But by us, the purpose of the Mishpatim is not only to create a functioning society, not only because it affects other people, but in order to ennoble us and let us know how to recognize God's praises in order that we should emulate him. And that's why the first mishpat that was given, right, in the line of mishpatim, of civil law, was the law of an Eved Ivri. That we should learn from these mishpatim how to be God's servant and not the servant of other human beings. And that is the purpose of all the mishpatim, that we should be able to become servants of God, know him, and be able to subjugate ourselves to him in a way that we emulate what his character traits are. And that's the pasuk, the following pasuk, I think, brings out this idea. It says, Ve'erastich li le'olam, I will marry you forever. God is speaking to the Jewish people. And ve'erastichli b'tzedek uvemishpat uvechesed uverachamim, I will marry you with righteousness and judge and justice and mercy and kindness. And then ve'erastichli be'emuna, I will marry you with faith. V'yodatis Hashem, and you'll know God. I mean, it means like this. Ve'erastichli li'ola means I came on Har Sinai, and I established my authority over you, and you accepted my authority, and that will make us have a bond that is eternal. Now, in that bond, what's it called? There is another aspect, and that is I will marry you with tzedek and mishpat and chesed and rachamim. These are all the attributes of God. I'll give you mishpatim, that you'll be able to recognize rationally my midos, and you'll be able to emulate them. And that's the second stage of this marriage. And then the third stage is veirastichli bemuna. I'll give you laws that are super rational. And there the purpose is not so much to emulate them, but to have faith that what I'm telling you is right. To negate your mind to me. Not to use your mind in my service, but to negate your mind, to subjugate your mind to me. And then, the adat is Hashem. Through all of this, you'll come to know God. Knowing God means emulating Him. Means totally connecting to Him. That's what yediyah is. Yediyah means a connection. Through all of this, you connect your mind to me. You connect your mind in two ways. One, by emulating and accommodating and molding it to the way I think. And the other way is to totally negate your mind, right, and accept my directives when they're beyond your rationale. And that's the way that we bond ourselves to the Rabbanu Shalom. Those are the three things. First, to accept his authority in general, then to emulate him through the mishpatim, and then to subjugate ourselves to him through the chukim. Now it's interesting though that this demarcation between chukim and mishpatim is not absolute, because every chok has a part of it that's also rational. The majority is beyond rationale. For instance, paraduma. There are ideas in the mitzvah of paraduma, right? There are ideas in the ideas of kashrus, the ideas of discipline and not eating things that would give you bad character, right? So there are ideas in kashrus, but the majority is beyond rationale. It's just a decree of the heaven that's beyond our comprehension. So the majority is a chok, but there are definitely rational ideas behind it too. Same thing goes with the opposite. Most mishpatim also have chukim, also have parts of them that are beyond rationale. The black and white is rational. Murder. It's wrong to murder. That's rational. But how about the gray areas of murder? Like abortion. Is abortion rationally murder? No. There's plenty of people that give very rational arguments, right, why abortion should be okay. So why is it not okay? Because God said it's murder. Under certain circumstances. So, where God said it's prohibited, even though rationally it may be something that we don't understand. Even though it's murder. So the majority of the idea of murder is rational. But the gray area is mercy killing. Is mercy killing rational that you shouldn't do it? No. Is it prohibited under most circumstances? Yes. Is it murder? Yes. Is it rational? No. It's beyond that. So every rational mitzvah has also super rational parts, and every super rational mitzvah has rational parts. They're just judged on the majority. The majority of a chok is super rational. The majority of a mishpat is rational. Okay. And we have another case where we have a chok that also has a logical, rational idea behind it. I'll give an example. It says in the Torah that if you have an animal that is a sheep that's mauled by a wild animal, a tiger, a lion, a wolf, a fox, comes and mauls your herd and mauls one of the animals and sticks its claws into it, and perhaps gives a hole in the brain or a hole in the lung or one of 18 other possible things, that eventually the animal is going to die from that. But right now he's alive. Alive, but wounded. So if you shech that animal, he can't eat the meat. That's called a trefa. That's a trefa. Okay? We use the word treif for a catch-all for all things that are not kosher to eat. But this is specifically what a trefa is. So the Torah says you can't eat that meat. What should you do with it? Lakelef tashli, throw it to the dogs. So the Medrash says, why give it to the dogs? Because the dogs deserve a reward because they didn't bark by Yitzias Mitzrayim, by Makas Bechoros. They didn't bark. Okay, so giving the dog a reward. If you don't have meat that you can't eat, give it to the dog. The Das Akenemi Bali Atosa says there's a rational idea behind giving it to the dog, and that is the following. Most herds have sheep dogs that protect them. So the dog has been a faithful servant protecting this flock. Now you have one of the sheep that you can't eat from this flock. So show some gratitude to the dog and give the dog the meat. He says there's only one problem. You know why you can't eat that meat? Because the dog didn't do his job. Had he protected the flock and chased away the wild animal, the animal would be edible. The reason that he was mauled and you can't eat it is because the dog didn't do his job. So now you should reward him for not doing his job? He said, yeah. Because how many times did he do his job? The one time that he didn't should not erase the gratitude for the times that he did. Now think about it. How many times do people have friends for years who mutually do good things for them and they do good things for them and they're very friendly or whatever, and then one time the friend does something not nice. And what do sometimes people do? Write them off their list. Don't talk to them, have nothing to do with them. You don't treat a dog like that. You don't let one thing erase an entire history of good relationships. So we can learn from this halacha of a treifa, which is a super rational law. Not a rational law. Super rational. Right? It's a religious law. But that religious law has implications to interpersonal relationships too. The one thing that I wanted to speak about in my kahila is talking in shul. Right? In many places that is extremely a problem. Where it's not in respect for the shul, it disturbs other people's kavana in davening. Right? So on the one hand, it's bein adam lamakom. It's a religious law. Have respect for the place where you're davening. Don't interrupt your davening. That's between man and God. But it also has implications between man and man. It disturbs other people, right? It's a sin between man and man also. In addition, not only does it have implications of what's it called between man and man on the surface, but even beneath the surface, it says that the son of the Shach and the Tosfos Yontif said after the Gzeiros of Tach V'Tat in the 1600s, Chmelnytsky pogroms, which killed out a third of European Jewry. They said that part of the reason that was brought about because people spoke in shul. Because they totally ignored the kedusha of the shuls and kedusha of davening. And that was one of the contributing factors why they were vulnerable to these attacks. And the Gemara says that a person, where a shul where people talk, eventually turns into a base of Avodah Zarah. Right? And there's a lot of shuls in America that when the Jews moved out of the neighborhood, they turned into churches. You can see where the mezuzahs were, the Jewish stars on churches. So I was thinking also that this also has an implication to this. Every day you hear another terrible tzara. One day people are blown to bits because of a gas explosion. Another day people are poisoned and choked to death because of a pesticide, right? So many little children are dying, crib deaths or whatever in Ghana, or this one got pushed or whatever. Every day is something else. And there's so many dangers from within and without, where the Iran and Syria and America is pressuring us to do things that are totally irrational, right? Where's this coming from? Why are we vulnerable to all of this? And not because the people who are affected themselves personally are guilty of this, but once it's the Klal Yisrael is vulnerable, then we have to take a wake up call from this. It says that Kol Mechabed Es HaTorah, whoever honors the Torah, his body is honored by people. And whoever does not honor the Torah, his body is not honored. If we see situations where people's bodies are being, what's it called, destroyed in the most dishonorable ways, people blown up, people poisoned by pesticides, killed by a cockroach, right? Then it's because there's a lack of honor to the Torah. Meaning the following. First of all, governmentally wise, this government has gone on a war path against everything to do with Torah. Everything. Right? They're trying to make laws and against the chief rabbis, against everything. Every day is another decree that totally belittles and disgraces the Torah. That's what they're trying to do. And even more than that, they're belittling and dealing very much not in honor with people who learn Torah, and trying to put them into the army and trying to get them out of the Beis Medrash or whatever. In an atmosphere like that, where there's a lack of Kavod HaTorah, what people have to do is become stronger in their Kavod HaTorah. If we can't change what the people around us are doing, that God will deal with them. And we have to make our ishtavlus to try to change what we can. But at least we can become more sensitive to honoring people who learn Torah and honoring the Torah, and that will neutralize the effect that the people who don't honor the Torah have, and make people's bodies more honorable and make us less vulnerable to all these terrible tragedies. So if we understand that, we understand that the purpose of the Torah is, on the one hand, in many mitzvahs and many parts of mitzvahs, to subjugate our minds to God. At the same time, to accommodate and mold our minds to how God thinks and what His attributes are, to do chukim and mishpatim, and in that way bond ourselves to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, right? Then we'll come to really know the Rabbonu Shel Olam, and we'll see the fulfillment of that pasuk, Ve'iras Dechli Li'olam, right? V'yodat Es Hashem. We'll have that tremendous connection to God eternally, when Mirza Hashem Mashiach will come and all of these problems will disappear.